This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and thank you so much for tuning in today. Most importantly, today is Friday. Happy Friday to all the Grace Curley Show listeners. And if you want to call in at any point today, you are more than welcome. The number is 844-500-4242. We have a great show planned. We have a new segment coming up today, which I think is going to be really, really fun. But just to give you a little update on what's happening with Ian is now heading towards South Carolina and Georgia. It is expected to hit the coast of South Carolina soon, from what I've been watching on Fox News. And meanwhile, the damage in Florida is staggering. I'm sure a lot of you have been seeing the drone footage of what's happening there. So far, the total number of deaths that I've seen confirmed by most news networks is 21. I've seen 23 in a few places, but Fox is running with 21. We will keep you posted today on any updates that come our way. And we also have a very interesting show for you as far as topics go. I'm very excited to talk to Miranda Devine. Anyone who listens knows that Miranda is one of my favorite people to interview. She covers a lot of different topics. But one thing that she has really been digging into is the whistleblowers at the FBI. And because of her recent piece about the 30 ex-FBI agents who stood up to support the whistleblower Stephen Friend, more stories have been coming out. And now Jim Jordan came out today and talked about how there's been this kind of alleged purge of conservatives at the FBI. In other words, people who are whistleblowers or who have been supportive of whistleblowers are being punished for their behavior. And Congressman Jim Jordan, as I mentioned, was on television today talking about this. I know Miranda's been discussing it on social media, so we will get into that. And also, I just want to add in, if you have any questions for Miranda or for me or for Jared, you can always text in to 617-213-1066. That's 617-213-1066. And you can just start the text with the word Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y. Now, we do have more sound from Kamala Harris at the DMZ. Now, obviously, it's going to be hard to top the cut that we played yesterday where she was confusing North and South Korea. But now we have more sound, and I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it because, you, like I always say, let's play it. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want to give you a little bit of context here. Kamala Harris is at the DMZ, and she's officially looked out at the binocular. She's done all the things that she can do. She's mixed up North Korea and South Korea. And so now all there is really is for her to talk to these military officials on camera and pretend that she's having a conversation.
You know where everybody knows your name?
Does anyone know, and this might be a little niche here, but there's an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry and Elaine are waiting for a rental car, and the rental car is not available, and the woman at the rental car service says, hold on, I'll go talk to my manager. And she goes back into the back room, and Jerry can see them talking. And he says, now she's saying to him, I have to look like I'm talking to you, so we look like we're talking about something interesting, so they think that we're fixing their problem. But really, we're just talking. That's a big part of Kamala Harris's job, is not necessarily to have in-depth conversations with people, but just to be able to carry a basic conversation so it looks on camera like she is doing something. And for a lot of politicians, that's what they do. Most politicians, I would even say on both sides of the aisle, are pretty good at that. You make small talk, you shake hands, You ask them something. I always, you know what my go-to is when in doubt? Ask people about themselves. And I know it's military officials. Maybe she feels like, oh, I can't do that. Just do it. What about you guys? You have any kids? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where are you from? Instead, she pivots to something that she's becoming really well known for. And that is space. The woman saw photos taken by the Webb telescope a few months ago, and she cannot get over it. Let's play this sound. This is Kamala Harris.
That's exciting. Have you seen the photographs from the Webb telescope? It's humbling. So we invested in this telescope, and the images just came in, and they show us 3 billion years back to the beginning, to all these galaxies. It's the most humbling thing you have ever seen. You gotta have somebody show you for it. It's absolutely humbling. Galaxies we didn't know existed. So when we think we've seen everything...
Okay,
I'm ready.
So the guy just says, looks like we're ready to move. I know that wasn't the
best.
All right,
let's go.
That wasn't the best audio, but what she's saying is, you know, we have this Webb telescope and we're able to see galaxies beyond once you think you've seen everything.
Man, this is a Wendy's.
It's just, I don't understand. Now, what I will say is this, because I'm not afraid to give a little credit here. I always assumed that just like all her other assignments, like all her other tasks, whether it be voter turnout or border czar or, you know, space lady, I just thought that space was just something she was handed. You know, you have to pretend to care about the moon. We've hired some paid child actors to sit with you while you talk about the moon. They will also pretend to be interested in the moon. I thought this was a little bit of a show for the American people that she was just pretending. Now I'm starting to wonder if space is truly her passion. And you know that expression, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Kamala Harris is not working right now.
You know what, let's shoot her up there and just see what happens.
For Kamala, maybe that is space. That is her passion. For Joe Biden, it is wandering around aimlessly. And he did that yesterday. He was speaking at FEMA headquarters, and he was asked a few questions. He did not have time for answers. He has a strict schedule of walking away from the podium with a dazed look on his face. And he was not about to let any reporters get in the way of that. So he starts walking away, and these two people, I think one of them was Mayorkas and the other person was probably the head of FEMA, was going,
yeah, Criswell.
Mr. President, like they're trying to keep him at the podium and they couldn't do it. But before we get into any of that, and I know this administration has so many problems and we could talk about them all day long, but there was one headline today that really did catch my eye above all the rest. And there are headlines today about inflation, about a great recession coming, about Ukraine pursuing a fast-track application to join NATO.
Federalization.
About AOC getting mad at Republicans because they don't believe that men can have babies. You name it, it's there today. Governor Gavin Newsom is enticing people to move back to California in his own way, a very interesting way. We have all of that. And yet, the headline I want to start with was from CNN. Biden administration scales back student loan forgiveness plan as states sue. Now, don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. Okay, you're not off the hook just yet. This is a very, very, this is scaling back, as Joe Biden might say, by an inch. They're just scaling back by an inch. The Biden administration scaled back eligibility for its student loan forgiveness plan Thursday, the same day 6 Republican-led states sued President Joe Biden in an effort to block his student loan forgiveness plan. We talked about that on Howie's show and how a lot of these lawsuits are, it's a good sign that people are doing this because at least they're making Joe put in an effort here. Because what he's doing, if he's going to skip over Congress, if he's just going to do an executive order and sign this in, they should at least put up a fight. Now, here's the scale back. Borrowers whose federal loans are guaranteed by the government but held by private lenders will now be excluded from receiving debt relief. If I'm reporting this to anyone right now for the first time who's driving in their vehicle and maybe has student loans that are held by private lenders, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news here. Around 770,000 people will be affected by this change. Now, when you look at the amount of people that go under the umbrella of who Joe Biden is going to forgive, and I'm using air quotes there, forgive student loan debt, it's not a large percentage of the people who are going to get their student loans forgiven. There's still a huge chunk of people that we'd be paying for their student loans to be forgiven. But I do think this is definitely a sign that the Biden administration knows that they're pushing the limits legally with this decision and that the pushback they're getting is going to be difficult to handle. So I saw that headline and you won't see a lot about it today for good reason. There's a lot of stuff going on, but I did want to let people know that this is not going to be something where Joe Biden can just do it and no one's going to say anything. This is legally a really tough battle for him to fight. And now all of this would be bad enough. All of these, you know, the space comments, student loan debt, everything. But what makes it all so much worse is inflation. And CNBC had a report out today that inflation in August was stronger than expected, despite the Federal Reserve's efforts to bring down prices. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, excluding food and energy, rose 0.6% for the month after being flat in July. That was faster than the 0.5% Dow Jones estimate and another indication that inflation is broadening. On a year-over-year basis, core PCE increased 4.9%, more than 4.7% estimate, and up from 4.7% the previous month. So we can talk about that as well, because these are all things that Joe Biden is not going to have time for. 844-500-4242. Other topics I want to get to today. Governor Hochul and Governor Newsom are, like I said, really incentivizing people to move back to their dysfunctional states. Wait until you hear how they're doing that. The CDC is evolving yet again, and we obviously have so many other cuts to get to. Stay on the line if you want to talk. It's 844-500-4242. It's Friday, and we will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Here's another nice headline for you on this Friday afternoon. This is from USA Today. How Dr. Oz tightened the Pennsylvania Senate race with Fetterman. Is it a warning sign for Democrats? I don't really need an explanation of how he tightened the race. I think when one person refuses to debate, it's usually a good sign. That's an easy way to tighten the race.
Hey, we haven't really gotten too much into John Fetterman. Everybody knows he had the stroke and he's recovering. But generally speaking, he seems like, even stroke aside, one of the worst candidates that I have ever seen. His record is terrible. He looks disheveled all the time. He just doesn't seem like...
Yeah,
and I know he's trying to do this, I'm just a regular working guy thing. But everything about him is unappealing.
Yeah, I don't mind, you know, I really, for me, the disheveled stuff doesn't even play into it. It's a lot of his past stances, whether it be on fracking or any of these issues that matter to people in Pennsylvania. He can't really give a straight answer. So that's where I think people should be the most concerned. And I do think people should be concerned about his health. I do think that he is not fully recovered and that's a problem. And if it's a problem when it's a Republican, it should be a problem when it's a Democrat, because you need to be fit for office. And that's not being mean and that's not being overly critical. That's just a basic thing that candidates are supposed to have before they take office. And if you have the opportunity before you vote for someone to find out about that or to be able to see them in action, that's important. Mr. Garcia, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon. I want to ask you a question. I prefer number one pick, DeSantis. Why? His wife looked first lady. Besides Trump's wife, she never looked as a first lady, my opinion. Her daughter, Trump's daughter, she's liberal. His husband, liberal. Ivanka Trump, liberal. Yeah, maybe we're not going to have strong borders. And when Trump, when her daughter going to be in wife, going to be in the middle, I don't think so, Grace. I believe the first pick, yeah, I believe DeSantis' wife and DeSantis look more presidential. And I believe, hopefully, pick them. But if not, if Trump running, pick him, I'm going to vote for him, no question about it. But I wanted DeSantis to be the first pick.
Yeah, and I think you have every right, Mr. Garcia, to express that opinion. I was just pointing this out with John Fetterman. The optics of it, I really don't care about. I agree with you that DeSantis and his wife, they have a nice family, and you know that that's all well and good. And she's a very beautiful woman, and she seems like a very smart, strong person. But I loved Melania. Like, the first ladies don't really come into play for me at all in that sense. But I will say that I think a lot of people feel the way you do when it comes to DeSantis versus Trump, and if they have the option. And also, I think people feel like if it is Trump, then of course they're going to vote for him. If he ends up being the nominee, then it's not even a question. And that's how I feel. The craziest part is the blowback you get if you even throw up the idea of a different candidate. The amount of vitriol I will get if I even suggest that maybe we have a little less baggage with Ron DeSantis, it's unhinged. Like, this is what you're supposed to do before the primary. This is the whole point of a primary, is to figure out who has the best shot at winning. But I think people lately have taken politics so personally, it's such a part of their personality, that people can't look at it. It's almost like The Godfather, you know? It's not personal, it's business. You have to look at it like business. Who's going to win? And who's going to win in a landslide? And I would listen to both. I would listen to both candidates. But I think that when we go in and we decide who it's going to be, that's what we have to be looking at, is who has the best shot at winning. Thank you, Mr. Garcia. I appreciate the call. 844-500-4242. We will take more calls. I wanted to talk about this story. It just broke my heart today. It actually occurred yesterday in Queens. This is FDNY EMS Lieutenant Allison Russo Elling was randomly stabbed to death in Queens. This story is horrific. It happened on in the intersection of 20th Avenue and Steinway Street around 2:15 p.m. yesterday. And I was just reading a little bit about this woman. And she was really, really an incredible person. She was a first responder on 9/11. And to be killed in this brutal, unprovoked attack, it's just heartbreaking. There's still a lot of information we don't have about this guy. And so I'm going to wait on that. But I just wanted to read you that Russo Elling was appointed to the FDNY as an EMT in 1998. She was then promoted to paramedic in 2002 and to lieutenant in 2016. She worked at multiple EMS stations across the city. And this was Eric Adams. He said, "We lost one of our heroes. She provided a service for the city for over 24 years. Just really, really an accomplished woman. She was a 61-year-old Long Island resident, and she survived by her daughter, grandchildren, and her parents. Just tragic. Another tragic story to come out of New York, unfortunately. When we come back, I want to talk about these oversight hearings on abortion and how, as you could probably predict, they're going off the rails. We'll talk about that, and we'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. What's becoming a very popular thing for some blue states is to ban the sale of new gas cars.
Between red and blue.
And depending on how ambitious you're feeling, you pick a year in the future that you think this can go into effect. And for Governor Kathy Hochul, because she's got nothing else going on in New York to worry about, New York is the latest state to ban the sale of new gas cars by 2035. Now, the first state that I saw this happening in, and I could be wrong, I think it was California, then Washington State, but I might have that reversed. But California was definitely a pioneer, because when it comes to stupid things, California is a pioneer. They're always at the forefront of doing the most boneheaded things that are going to make the quality of life worse for people in the state and make it more expensive at the same time. But Gavin Newsom did this a while ago, you know, so Hochul's a little late to the banning the sale of gas-powered cars party. So naturally now Newsom's got to ratchet it up a bit, you know, because after all, he is definitely eyeing 2024, despite his denials in all different languages. No. I am not running, he tells us. I do not believe you. But the reason I bring this up is because Newsom is, he's adding a new layer. He's trying to get people to come to California. And it's tough, Jared. It's tough to get people, you know, and for it to be hard to get people to move to a place that is so beautiful. Like, if you leave out all of the destruction that Newsom and liberals have caused in California, as a state, it is just phenomenal. It is, in some places, especially, the weather's beautiful, but they have to constantly try to, I don't even want to say coax people into coming back. They almost have to, like, blackmail them into coming back. You know, that's what they were trying to do with the movie industry. It'd be a shame if your audience started to figure out that your values don't align with where you're filming your stuff. You better come back to California. They get very hostage-like. Well, now Newsom is trying something different. The gas-powered cars, that sounds good. The billboards about abortion, that's one thing. But now he's signing a bill to allow minors from other states to receive medical gender transitions without parental consent.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Now, I feel about this topic, as far as how it's going to work for Democrats, the same way I feel about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Anyone who would move to California because of this level of psychotic virtue signaling is already in California. They're in another blue state that they love because it's even wackier somehow. So you're not going to get, like, can you picture someone in Florida? And Florida, I know right now, is going through a hard time, but let's say Texas. Picture someone in Texas. Do you think that they're hemming and hawing, like, oh, the new job I want, I'd have to move to California. Kind of on the fence. It's so much more expensive. Everybody's so woke. There's poop on the side of the streets. And sometimes the homeless people take their poop and throw it at the restaurant owners. There's syringes everywhere. Oh, but wait, hold on a second. Am I reading this right? The governor is signing a bill that's going to allow minors to receive medical gender transitions without parental consent? Deal me in. Like, I don't think this does what he thinks it does.
No, and talk about missing the boat or not reading the room or the tea leaves or whatever you want to talk about. Parental consent and parental involvement completely overturned Virginia.
Yep.
It overturned, I think, 5 or 6 school boards in Florida. It overturned school boards in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, exactly.
That is not the power play
right
now.
No, that's the backfire play. That's the exact opposite of what you should be doing. And I wonder if I was reading an article today about Abigail Spanberger. She's a Democrat. She was the Democrat who told other congresspeople after the 2020 election that they needed to change something. She was like, guys, no more defund the police. We can't do this anymore. And I just have to imagine how she feels when she reads this stuff. Like, her constituents are saying, you know, inflation's too high. You know, the border needs to be secure. Crime's out of control. And she's looking around at other people in her party, and this is what she sees. Oh, we're signing a bill that's going to let kids have medical surgery to change their genders without telling their parents. She's probably thinking, that wasn't one of my suggestions on how we could turn this thing around for us. Now, the entire gender ideology and the conversation around gender is starting to kind of seep its way into a lot of other discussions. Who can forget when the Supreme Court, at the time, nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson was asked to define woman? I mean, this is becoming a question that gets asked at a lot of different hearings, at a lot of with a lot of different topics. And today it was brought up because there was an oversight hearing on abortion. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was there, and she was very upset with Republicans. She actually attacked one of the Republicans for not believing that men can get pregnant. Now, this was a House Oversight Committee hearing about abortion, and she also claimed that abortion was an economic issue because if women are not allowed to have an abortion, then parents are effectively conscripted to work against their will. Before we get into any of that, let's take the witness or the star guest, Dr. Bhavik Kumar. He's a Planned Parenthood doctor, and he was asked if people... Do we have this cut, Jared? Oh, yes, we do. He was asked by Representative Andrew Clyde if people can get pregnant. This is a Republican from Georgia asking if men can get pregnant. And this was the answer from Dr. Bhavik Kumar, Cut 13.
Dr. Kumar, can biological men become pregnant and give birth?
So men can have pregnancies, especially trans men.
So can biological men become pregnant and give birth? So are you saying that a biological female who identifies as a man and therefore becomes pregnant is, quote, a man? Is that what you're saying?
These questions about who can become pregnant are really missing the point. I'm here to talk
about Texas. This is me asking a question and you answering. I'm asking the question, sir, not you.
Right, and I'm answering the question. Somebody with a uterus may have the capability of becoming pregnant, whether they're a woman or a man. That doesn't make a difference.
Okay, we're done.
Not
we're
every
done.
Person with
this
a uterus
isn't complicated.
Has the ability
Let
to
me
become
tell you,
pregnant.
If a person has
this
a uterus
medicine.
And is born female, they are a woman. That is not a man, and the vast majority of the world considers that to be a woman because there are biological differences between men and women. Clearly, any high school biology class teaches that men and women have different chromosomes. Females are XX chromosome and male are XY chromosome. I can't believe it's necessary to say this, but men cannot get pregnant and cannot give birth, regardless of how they identify themselves.
And that's the part of this that drives me the most crazy. It's like, it's not even, I'm not asking Dr. Bhavik Kumar to say something that he thinks is going to offend his fan base. You know, he asked if biological men can get pregnant. So you could say, if you were woke and you wanted to answer this in a very, you know, politically correct way, you could say biological men cannot get pregnant, but people who identify as men can get pregnant. And that's fine. But they can't even do that. They have to actually change reality and say, no. And AOC's response just shows you how unhinged the left is, because she tries to turn this around and act like Representative Andrew Clyde is the one who's out of his mind. Can I have cut 12?
The same folks who tell us and told us that COVID's just a flu, that climate change isn't real, that January 6th was nothing but a tourist visit, are now trying to tell us that transgender people are not real.
Okay, what about the people who told us we had to buy all of this plexiglass to stop COVID from spreading? What about people who told us that masks work and then masks don't work and then masks work again? What about people who told us if we got vaccinated, we had no chance of getting COVID-19?
It's science.
What about those people? Are those the people we're supposed to listen to now when they tell us that men can have babies? I just want to keep up, AOC. I just want to keep up with the brilliance here. Am I supposed to listen to people who have no idea how biology works at all, and they're doctors? Like, no, we're scared too. We wish that this guy made sense. We wish he could just answer the question. And also, I love what she says, people who don't believe in global warming. I want to clarify something for
AOC. This is a house of learned doctors.
I want to clarify something for AOC. I can believe in something and not agree with your methods of handling it. I have no doubt that the globe or the planet is changing, that the climate is changing. But I don't think that any of these unicorn covering up cow noses with masks and stopping them from farting and, you know, billions of dollars towards solar panels and wind machines and making people drive electric cars that have to get batteries and from China. And then also you have to tear down rainforest to make the batteries. I don't believe that that is the solution. It doesn't mean I don't think that anything's happening. It doesn't mean I'm a climate denier or a science denier. It just means I think your ideas on how to combat it are a waste of my money. I think they're stupid ideas, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that I don't understand that there are things happening in the world. Of course the climate's changing. But do I think that Joe Biden installing solar panels everywhere and buying people bikes is going to change it? No.
Shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun!
Ugh, I'm just... It's the condescension where they think this is really going in their favor. Like, they look like the ones who are so tolerant and so... You look insane! I'm all for being kind to anybody. If you want to identify as whatever you want to identify as, I am all for being kind to everybody. If you don't bother me, I won't bother you. If you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. I operate on that level. But that does not mean that I am forced to believe your skewed version of reality. It's like what Dave Chappelle said. At what point do I have to stop partaking in your fiction, you know? And that's what it is. Saying men can have babies is fiction. And it also, and we can get into this at a different time, but it also is, it's insulting to women. Like, no, I'm sorry, just because you identify as a woman does not mean you can have a baby. That's something that biological women can do. Is that offensive to say? I think it's kind of offensive to claim otherwise. 844-500-4242. I have been avoiding Jared looking at my retirement account lately because it's not going to be good. It's going to be scary. And the more I hear you talk about it, the more I hear Taylor talk about it, the more I just keep pushing the envelope back into the mailbox and just saying, I'll get to this later.
Yeah, I would not. I play the long game, as they say. Don't take a look right now.
It's a Monday type of thing. I'll open it on Monday. But I know it's going to be bad because with inflation, the recession, higher interest rates, everything's getting more expensive. We're in a financial storm and the global economy is weakening. So you need a hedge to protect your retirement so you don't lose any more money. You need to stop the bleeding. You need to make it better. And that's why our friends at Monetary Gold would like to send you two free guides. You have nothing to lose. These are totally free guides. And they're the 2022 Monetary Gold Protection Guide and also the 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months. These free guides will show you how to protect your assets and get through this financial crisis. Did you know that during the high inflation of the 70s, gold increased in value 2,300%? That's the thing about tough times like these. There are different ways to make it work for you. There are better ways to figure out how to handle these financial storms. So call Monetary Gold now to get your two free guides. It's 800-267-6500. Again, that's 800-267-6500, or you can go to monetarygold.com/grace. If you want to get these two free guides, call today. It's 800-267-6500, or go to monetarygold.com/grace. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley lives her life by a strict set of rules.
Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face. And that's it!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Ooh, I got a little heated in that last segment. I did not expect that. I feel like we're living in such crazy times, And that's okay. But for AOC to switch it around on the representative Clyde, who was just asking basic questions to make it seem like he's some sort of, you know, villainous reality denier, is just, it got under my skin. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Grace Curley Show store. For this week only, we're offering BOGO on our Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirts. And right now you can buy one t-shirt and get two free. It's two gifts for the price of one. So offer is good while supplies last. You just go to gracecurlyshow.com and click on store. This is a great deal. You've seen Howie modeling the shirts a lot. I wear them a lot too, and it's a perfect time to get them. It's a BOGO deal. So go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who had the weakest excuse for Biden's Walorski comments? KJP, USA Today, or Whoopi Goldberg?
Okay, so I'm going to save the USA Today probably for the last hour, but there is this amazing op-ed by this woman, Jill Lawrence, from USA Today. She's a columnist, and she basically writes how, yeah, Joe Biden made a mistake, but it's because he's such a sweetheart. It's because he's such a compassionate, humane, decent man that he accidentally mentioned a deceased woman and asked where she was on stage. I'm going to have to go. And Whoopi, for people who don't know, Whoopi's excuse was, well, she died a month ago, not 100 years ago. KJP's excuse was, well, she was top of mind, Representative Jackie Walorski. I have to say, Jill Lawrence from USA Today takes the cake.
Only 8% with USA Today. 29% for Whoopi and 63% for KJP.
Let me tell you right now, that's going to change because you guys just haven't heard what this woman wrote. When I read it to you, that will change. Andrea, you are up next on the Grace Curley Show on this Friday afternoon. Go ahead, Andrea.
Okay, Grace, I'm going to tell you where else AOC was disingenuous. The other day, she told the entire world that she wears an IUD. And she said, I could have an ectopic pregnancy, and if I was in a state where there was no abortion, then I wouldn't be able to have this taken care of. Everybody here needs a biology and anatomy lesson. I was a GYN nurse for over 15 years. Ectopic means outside of. An ectopic pregnancy is a fertilized egg that is growing outside of the uterus. By its very definition, it cannot become a viable human being. It is a medical emergency. No one is going to even put it under the umbrella of abortion because it can't grow. They generally lodge in the fallopian tube. That's like probably over 90% of the time. They're either surgically dealt with, or today they have other medical things they can do to avoid surgery. So everybody, when she says that, understand that you're being conned and don't fall for that.
Yeah, Andrea, I'm glad you brought this up, because when the abortion, when Roe versus Wade was overturned, I remember a nurse who I'm friends with, who's on my Instagram timeline, she posted a story and she said, I don't want to get into the politics of this at all. I have no desire. However, please stop labeling ectopic pregnancies as abortions, because that's just not the case. And it's essentially, I think, Andrea, that's what you just said as well.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, there are ways even around the laws. Back in the 70s, I started in the late 70s and 80s and 90s, when it was tougher to get an abortion here in Massachusetts, there was a code that stood for acute situational anxiety regarding pregnancy. A lot of people had a, quote, DNC under that diagnosis. So this is a big ado, much ado about nothing, but she's just disingenuous, and we need to point it out.
Thank you very much, Andrea. Appreciate the call. When we come back, Miranda Devine from the New York Post is joining us. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday, and it's the Grace Curley Show.